Just imagine that sergeant realizing that, in theory, our brother Jeremiah could have been thrown out of the army if he didn't pass. Instead of sitting tranquilly at his desk, he went out, put on his shorts, his t-shirt, and his shoes, and was willing to sweat running alongside of our brother Peter that he would make it safely. And how our Lord Jesus, he did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but he emptied himself. He put on our humanity, and he didn't just sweat for us, he bled for us. And like we sang, he's leading sinners home. Praise God for such a Savior. And even as we speak about men to be pastors and deacon, we think of our need for such a shepherd. Shepherd's hearts among us. That is our great desire. Kevin read from Acts 1:23, where it speaks of they put forward two men, Joseph called Darsabas, who was also called Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, "Thou, Lord, who knows the hearts of all men, show one of these out of which we should choose to occupy this ministry and apostleship from which Judas turned aside to go to his own place." And they drew lots for them. And the lot fell on Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we consider how you were in that upper room then. We ask you would be in this upper room tonight. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight we have gathered at Harbor Church, as Harbor Church, to engage in holy kingdom business. We are voting on three men who've been nominated for the offices in the church: Rick Kirsten and Aaron Vonk for the office of elder, and Peter Kirsten for the office of deacon. Now, these are very important roles in Christ's church, and we must proceed only with reverent care. Only Christ's men must be recognized. But how do we recognize those whom Christ has appointed? In seeking to discern God's will, did you know that some congregations cast lots? They do. They create a double slate for each office, just like in the upper room there in Acts chapter 1. There was Matthias, and there was Joseph, double slate, and then casting of the lot to see the which of the two. And there may be scriptural warrant for such a thing. Such churches would quote Proverbs 16:33, "The lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord." Canaan was parceled out by the Lord, 12 tribes divided by lot, Joshua 18:6. Saul was chosen as king by lot in 1 Samuel 10:21, but these cases were all prior to Pentecost, sending out of the fuller measures of the Holy Spirit and the completion of the scriptural canon, the 27 books from Matthew through Revelation. So because of this, we no longer use the lots or Aaron's high priestly Urim and the Thummim that were on his breastplate to make decisions. But you may say, well, wait a minute there. In the New Testament, there's Matthias, who was chosen by lot over Joseph. It's right there in 1:26 of Acts. He replaced Judas, the betrayer, as one of the 12 apostles. Well, yes, this is true, but this was unique because he was replacing one of the 12 apostles who had been handpicked by Jesus. Just as we might say, he also handpicked the apostle Paul as an apostle on the Damascus Road. He unilaterally chose Paul in that sense. Also, we would say Acts chapter 1 was prior to Pentecost and the canon. Also, there's never another record of anyone using lots to discern God's will in the book of Acts or in the epistles. And just as an aside, I do not recommend creating a double slate of candidates, say, for marriage, and then telling someone, "Ah, congratulations, I flipped a coin. It came up tails. You want to get married?" No, we have the scriptures for such crucial life decisions. The book of Ecclesiasticus says, he who is well versed in the scriptures is better than the Urim and the Thummim. So we're looking to the scriptures here tonight. That's the principle we see in the New Testament. Paul and Barnabas appointed elders in every church, it says in Acts 14:23. And Titus was instructed to appoint elders in Crete, Titus 1:5. And the criterion, the qualifications for recognizing and for appointing these elders is provided in 1 Timothy 1, 3 through 7, and Titus 1, 5 through 9. And we unpacked those passages last week regarding the eldership and the qualifications for the diaconate. We will touch on in the meeting, which would be 1 Timothy 3, 8 through 13. Now, here in the Scriptures is the measure of the man who would be qualified to enter into that office. If you've been to Muskegon, there's Michigan Adventure. There's a ride called Shivering Timbers. And there's a measure. You've got to be this tall if you're going to step into the roller coaster car. And likewise, there's the measure of the man who would step into the eldership. And Christ has set that bar. Therefore, Christ and His Word, that's the gatekeeper. And so with this in view, we move forward, not casting lots, but examining qualifications, measuring men tonight. That's what we'll do in the business meeting upcoming. Let me bring before the business meeting just four principles that should govern our recognizing and our appointing elders. Four principles. Four principles. And there you have them. First, we should expect Christ superintending. We should expect that we're not just conducting a popularity contest. It's not just a leadership election. We should expect the sacred presence of the Lord Jesus being with us as we gather together for such a vote. It says in Matthew 18 and verse 20 that where two or three are gathered in Christ's name, there He is in the midst. And when decisions are made, that profound statement is given in Matthew 18, what you bind on earth is bound in heaven. There's a gravitas to what we do because someone glorious is profoundly present here as we're gathered together. It's not just a group of people with the gathered church of Christ, and we may not feel Him brushing up against our pant leg. He is here. Also, 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 4, Paul says to the church in Corinth, in the name of our Lord Jesus, when you are assembled with the power of the Lord Jesus Christ there in your midst, hand this man over to Satan. It was a vote being taken of church discipline. And it's referred to as the Lord Jesus. You gathered in His name and His power is there. Also, Paul says to the Ephesian elders in Acts 20 and verse 28, be on guard for yourselves and the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Who made those elders overseers? The Holy Spirit did. F.F. Bruce comments this way, the reference to the Holy Spirit here does not mean that their appointments to this sacred office had been commended by a prophetic utterance in the church, but rather that they were so appointed and recognized because they were manifestly men on whom the Holy Spirit had bestowed the necessary qualifications for the work. Christ among us, by His Spirit among us. So we should expect that the Holy Spirit is working among us in a qualified man's life, in the sense that he can be recognized, just like you're drawing straws, and there's one straw, it sticks out, so we can see a man bearing the marks of Christ's work in his life. And the Holy Spirit also working in our eyes, illuminating us, so we can recognize with our minds the proper application of His Word as we would evaluate men. So at this appointed hour of decision, we should expect that Christ is strangely and wonderfully and sovereignly exerting His will. His influence among us. He's superintending things here. Lots aren't cast in the sense that the sovereign hand of God is being displayed that way, but it is being displayed in this scriptural way. But secondly, we should understand pastoral recommending. We should understand pastoral recommending. Your present pastors aren't campaign managers for the nominated men. We haven't campaigned for them. We won't campaign for them. We want you to vote your conscience. We don't want you to feel arm-twisted by our pastoral opinions of each man. It says in Romans 14:22 that he who doubts is condemned if he eats, for that which is not of faith is sin. You need to be able to vote in faith regarding these men. It's a matter of conscience, the way that you vote. However, it is good to understand that our nominating Pastor Filsix and my nominating these men is an expression of endorsing, in the sense that it says in Article 8 of our own Constitution, nominations for either office are made by the elders. See, Pastor Filsix and I have a certain sovereign accountability for laying hands on these men. We're told in 1 Timothy 4:14 refers to the laying on of hands by the elders. In 5:22, elders are told, lay hands on no man hastily. Our Constitution even indicates how if an elder has an issue with a certain man and he can't lay hands on him, that the congregation needs to be informed of such a thing. It's a solemn thing that we as pastors are nominating here. We have this peculiar accountability. We're answerable to God for those on whom we lay our hands. So understand, though we do not campaign for these men, in our minds we've vetted and expected these men, and to our knowledge and our discernment, we believe they are qualified men. That can't in any sense twist your arm and make you do anything, but you should take it as a degree of weightiness. I think of a Supreme Court candidate or a candidate for the presidency of the United States. There's a certain fellow I always want to know. I ask, what does Al Mohler think? I view him as a man of gravitas, and his input is significant to me. And likewise, I think it's reasonable to say, well, what do my pastors say? Are they recommending? Though our recommendation should not be conclusive at all. In fact, when it comes to the last election, I don't know if I voted the same way Albert Mohler voted. But his input was certainly so helpful to me. And I hope your pastor's input is helpful as well. Thirdly, we should also pursue humility displaying. We should pursue humility displaying. This is Christ's church. And Christ is profoundly present here tonight. And so we should all be attired in a certain way. It doesn't mean we should all have ties and suits, but we should all be wearing humility. That should be our garments. It says in Philippians 1 and following, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if any fellowship in the Spirit, do nothing from selfishness or conceit, but with humility of mind, regard others as more important than yourself, having in yourselves the attitude that was in Christ Jesus, he who humbled himself, become obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. So in all of our interactions tonight, there should be humility in our deliberations, in our interactions, in our discussions. We should banish from this house all native selfish pride and conceit. We should regard others more highly than ourselves, guarding our words and our tones and our gestures. And this is a challenging thing, because our Constitution says there should be a frank evaluation of those considered. There should be open discussion of the nominee being considered in the fear of God, with due respect for the nominee. And this is a challenging thing. For us to have, on the one hand, integrity, but also for us to have humility. Ephesians 4:15 says, speaking the truth in love. That's what we need to do. Ephesians 4:2, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing forbearance, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So for all of us, humility needs to be our attire. But think of these three men in particular, how hard this is for them to be brought center stage and put under the bright lights, being vulnerable to criticism. Let's pray for these three men, that they would have grace as well. Because you realize, it's possible that all three of them won't be brought in. It says, should not unity be fully realized, no fewer than 3/4 of the ballots are required. And one of these nominees, even if it gets 1 or 2 or a number of no's, you're struggling, who gave the no? That person will need humility, a humble response, even thinking Moses was criticized yet served. Lord Jesus was criticized yet served. The Apostle Paul was criticized yet served. Or it's even possible that if one would fail to be recognized and there was rejection, I was rejected, one could be vulnerable to bitterness and hissing on the part of the Holy Spirit, temptations. But even if such a thing would take place, what an opportunity for grace to display itself in humility and a humble response, validating in the long run. The nomination, the individual displays a fruit of humility in the long run. It says in 1 Peter 5:6, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you at the proper time, which may well be tonight. Or it says in Luke 14:11, everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but he who humbles himself will be exalted. Even consider how John Mark in Acts 15 was voted down by the apostle Paul at one time, but then later in 2 Timothy 4, he was voted up by the Apostle Paul. Send me, bring me Timothy, for he is profitable to me. And then just lastly, we should resolve brotherly submitting. We should resolve brotherly submitting. So what if the congregation votes and it does not recognize a man that I recognize? Or, what if the congregation does recognize a man I don't recognize? Well, think of Ephesians 5:21. Be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. And the way we have a constitution. The constitution has a procedure and we covenanted together to follow this procedure, believing this would be the voice of Christ among us. And so, though things may or may not go our particular way, we're willing to be subject to one another in the fear of Christ, just as a wife may be subject to a husband with whom she may have friction, or a child to a parent, 6:1 of Ephesians, or a slave to a master, so even a member to a pastor, as it says in Hebrews 13:17, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls, as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for you. So, we believe Christ is superintending and building His church in this place. Not by lots, no, not by... we know Christ has sovereignly superintended. Well, we believe in the superintending of the Lord Jesus by the illumination of the Spirit, in the gifting of men, through recognition by His Word. So may the Lord help us to be a church that knows His presence in many profound ways tonight.